الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. أما بعد, we have some questions, inshallah. We'll take what we can briefly this evening, inshallah. We'll make it short. We may not be able to answer all the questions tonight. If so, we can save them for tomorrow, inshallah. And the next day, we'll answer, inshallah, what is easy. The question is, says, who are the Salaf and should we follow them? The Salaf, they are those who we just discussed in our class from those first three generations. The head of them is the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and those who followed them and those who followed them. So those three generations, they're known as the Salaf. And we have seen that it's an obligation to follow them. So the word is Salaf, what is it? Reference here is As-Salaf As-Salih. So those three generations, the generation of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is the companions, and their students, known as the Tabi'un, and their students, they're known as the Atba' Tabi'in, they're called Al-Qurun Al-Mufaddala, the three most virtuous generations of Muslims. And also they're known as As-Salaf As-Salih, As-Salaf As-Salih, the righteous and pious predecessors. It's an obligation to follow their way. Falling away contrary to their way leads away from the straight path. Their path is the straight path. Their path is the straight path. Another question that says, what is manhaj? Manhaj means a clear path. A clear path. Manhaj is the methodology of a believer, his application of the creed and the religion. So we have the aqidah, which is the faith and the belief. We have the application of that, which is the manhaj, the methodology, and the way, the manners and etiquettes that a believer, he upholds and abides by in his methodology and how he traverses in life, how he moves and traverses in life. These words, they come together, aqidah and manhaj, the creed and the methodology. So if the creed is good, the methodology, inshallah, will be good. And if the creed is bad, then the methodology is to be bad. And the methodology cannot be good if the creed is not good. If the creed is not good. Another question. Jazakallahu khairan. Can you name some of the major scholars to listen to? The major scholars to listen to who are alive, today, like Sheikh Salih Fawzan, and like Sheikh Salih Adi Sheikh, and like Sheikh Salih, and like Sheikh Abdulaziz Adi Sheikh, and like Sheikh Suleiman Al-Ruhaili, and like Sheikh Abdul Razak Al-Badr, and many others, the scholars of the Sunnah today, alhamdulillah, there are many and they're well known. There are many and they are well known. I just mentioned for you some of them. The questioner says, are you here tomorrow? Inshallah. That's an easy one. Huh? Hopefully you'll be here tomorrow too. The question says, I lose my iman a lot. Any idea on how to make it better? To seek knowledge. The iman is something that is precious and valuable, and it's rare. And if you do not take care of it, it will go away. The iman is a creed in the heart, and it is statement on the tongue, and likewise actions on the body parts. It increases with obedience to Allah, and it decreases with disobedience to Allah. So if you want your faith to increase, first you must learn and seek knowledge from the proper sources, in the proper manner, from those who are reliable and those who are qualified. In doing that, your knowledge, your faith will increase. In doing that, your faith will increase. Then you strive against your soul to implement that knowledge. Whatever you learn about Islam, whatever you learn about the Sunnah, you strive to apply it in your life. Doing that upon Iman, seeking the pleasure of Allah, your faith will increase. Your faith will increase. Study the Book of Allah and ponder over the words of Allah. Think deeply about the recitation and the verses of Allah in his book, you will increase an iman. Read the biography of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will increase an iman. Read the stories of the prophets in the book and in the sunnah, you will increase an iman. Read the biographies of the pious and the righteous predecessors from the scholars and the ulama of hadith. Likewise, from those three generations we just discussed, you will increase an iman. Sit in the company of the righteous. Attend the lessons of the people of the Sunnah in the Masajid. Keep good friends, friends that are steadfast upon the deen of Allah, have a good understanding of the religion, proper aqeedah, and they themselves are on a good manhaj and methodology, you will increase in iman. Repent often and seek forgiveness, you will increase in iman. There are many means for your iman to increase. To summarize them is to obey Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. On the contrary, there are many reasons why the iman will decrease. It will weaken and it will go low whenever you're heedless or forgetful of the hereafter or the remembrance of Allah, or whenever you indulge in sins or actions of disobedience, whenever you fall short in performing obligations or negligent in performing them properly. All of these are from the means and the reasons for the iman to fall and to be weak, to be in the company of the heedless and the neglectful, to be in the company of people who only talk about the dunya. They don't know anything about the hereafter. This is from the reasons why the iman will decrease, to look at YouTube and to scroll on Facebook and the likes like this, and to look at the flick after flick after flick after flick on, what's the one called? TikTok. What's the other one called? Instagram and the likes like this. Doing this over and over, this is the reason for your iman to fall weak. Listening to music and the likes like that. All of this is from the reasons for the iman to fall weak. If you do not check your faith and you let your soul run, it will run. It will run. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Inna al-imana la yakhlaqu fi jawfi ahadikum kama yakhlaqu al-thawb. Fas'alu Allah an yujaddid al-imana fi qulubikum." That indeed the iman, it wears out inside your heart just as your garment wears out. So you have to ask Allah to renew the iman in your heart. So the garment, it wears out. The garment, it wears out. For example, if you're a worker, you got pants on or a long sleeve shirt, sometimes the knees, they start to wear out. How does that happen? Or the elbows. First, it starts to just get thin, change color a little bit. Then maybe it frays a little bit. And if you don't patch it, what happens? Pretty soon it tears. Next thing you know, your whole knee is showing. Or your elbow is showing. If it's cold, you get cold. If it's raining, you get wet. If it's hot, you feel the heat. Now you're exposed to the environment. And also people can see your skin and see your shortcomings and faults. Same thing with the iman. If you don't check it and take care of it, it will weaken. And whenever the iman starts to weak, then you become exposed to the anger of Allah and to His punishment. And likewise to the blame of the people, because they'll see you, yani, in that lowly state, the state of weak faith, which leads to disobedience and lowly manners. So you have to ask Allah and beg Him to renew your faith always. So you ask Allah and you beg Allah, along with taking the means. From also the greatest means, like I said, the obedience. At the head of them, the obligatory affairs. At the head of them, the five daily prayers, performing them in the proper manner, fulfilling the conditions and requirements before entering into the prayer. Showing concern for the adhan and repeating after the muadhan if you hear. So on and so forth, making the wudu good, leaving your home and going to the masjid. If you're a man, so on and so forth, and watching for the proper time, praying at the earliest time, praying in congregation whenever you can, and then praying with a heart that is alive, learning the adhkar of the salat, knowing what the Fatiha is mentioning. When you say ihdina, salat al-mustaqim, you mean it in your heart because you know what it means, so on and so forth. Whenever you praise Allah, you say Allahu Akbar. Your tongue says it and your heart says it too. You don't say Allahu Akbar with your tongue and you think about the dunya. And you think about the dunya and you're lost in the prayer until you say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah and the likes like this. That you strive against your soul to ponder and reflect over what you're reciting and what you're saying or what's being recited and what you're listening to. If you're praying behind the imam, so on and so forth. Then you sit after the prayer and you make the adhkar for the sake of Allah and you reflect and ponder over the meaning of the tasbih and the tamheed and the takbir and the tahreel and the praises and the glorifications of Allah after the five daily prayers. And likewise, you make the adhkar in the morning and in the evening, faithfully, every day, pondering over the meaning of those adhkar. In this manner, the iman takes root, firm in the heart, by the permission of Allah. Remembering Allah throughout the day. Whenever you leave your house, you remember Allah. Whenever you enter your house, you remember Allah. You take the means to protect yourself from the devil. All of this is from the ways of protecting and preserving your faith. And likewise, there's a question about being thankful. And these are the same ways, the ways of being thankful. Showing thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by obeying Him. By obeying Him and not disobeying Him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. The question says, is it permissible to work at a pawn shop? At a pawn shop. Allah knows best what that means. I don't know the details of the pawn shop. I think that the pawn shop is taking loans and then taking interest, right? That's the basis of a pawn shop. I mean, they might have interest involved. So if you have to take, if you have to take interest, say in the likes like this, then you can't work someplace where you're required to charge people interest for their items. And likewise, these late penalties and fees, which is considered interest, likewise, all of this is not permissible, along with the fact that many of the things that might be sold there are unlawful, and Allah knows best. So whatever is forbidden, it's forbidden to be engaged in that or to cooperate in that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, wa ta'awanu ala al-birri wa taqwa, cooperate you all together upon piety and righteousness. Wa la ta'awanu ala al-ithm wa al-udwan, do not cooperate upon sin and transgression. So if people are working together, cooperating upon taking interest in the likes like this, or selling items that are forbidden, it's not allowed for a believer, one who believes in Allah on the last day, to be involved in that and to cooperate with them in that. To cooperate with them in that. You understand? What advice do you have for those who listen to music to leave it for the sake of Allah immediately? Music is the means to grow hypocrisy in the heart. Music is the means to grow hypocrisy in the heart. So just like water causes the trees to grow and the crops to flourish, music causes hypocrisy to grow and to flourish in the heart. Waliyadh billah. Music is the voice of the devil, and the love for music and the love for the Quran can never come together in the heart of a believer. The heart, the Quran is pure and good, and music is filthy and lowly, and it moves the people into deviation and misguidance and sin and transgression. Music is the ways of the people in these lands, and I'm from the people in these lands, and I know their ways. I spent a lifetime doing them. The people, they take music as their Quran, meaning they follow it. If they want to get high, they listen to music about getting high, and it makes them feel like it's okay to get high because the music tells them to get high. If they want to rob somebody, they'll listen to music about robbing somebody, and they'll go and do that. If they want to murder somebody, they'll listen to music about that, and they'll go and do that. They're moved by the music. They follow the music. They obey the music. They listen to the music. If they want to have fornication, they put on the music that will encourage them to do that. Music is foul and lowly, especially the music in these lands and the music in these days. So it's impermissible and from the foul and lowly ways. So my advice to those who listen to music is to leave it for the sake of Allah. So as I mentioned, I used to be from any of the people in this land. That's what they do. But just leave it for the sake of Allah. Inshallah, Allah will make it easy for you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Man taraka shay'an lillahi awadahu Allahu khairan minhu." Whoever leaves something for the sake of Allah, Allah will replace it with something better. Alhamdulillah. So leave music for the sake of Allah and strive to learn your religion and seek knowledge. Inshallah, you're going to get something better. You'll learn how to recite the Quran. You study tajweed. You study the mode of recitation. You study the recitation of the Book of Allah. You memorize and you recite and you listen. You study the Arabic language. Alif, ba, ta, tha, jim, ha, kha. You learn the makharij. You learn the sifat. You study the books of the Arabic language. Hadha kitabun wa hadhihi bintun. Until you understand, and then you have the greatest treasure. You'll be able to listen to the words of your Lord recited, and you will know what they mean. And it will go on your heart, and you will find a joy and a happiness and a pleasure and a contentment that you can never find. You can never find any other way. Your heart will burst from joy and from love of listening to the Book of Allah. But that's not going to happen when you're busy listening to music and the words of the devils and the devils with the other billah. May Allah allow the Muslims to realize it here and to grant them success to leave music for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. The questioner says, is it okay to cheat in a test? No, it's not okay to cheat in a test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, awfu bil'uhud. You have to, awfu, huh? Bil'uhud, huh? Huh? Yeah, I'm confusing the word of uhud and uqud. In the ayat, it's uhud, right? Awfu bil'uhud. Jazakumullah khairah. You have to honor your oaths. You have to honor your first. What are they in whom? The amanatihim wa ahdihim ra'un. Those who honor their covenants and their promises. Wal muslimuna ala shurutihim. And the Muslims are upon their conditions. So you must be honest. And cheating is lying and dishonest. And this is from the ways of the hypocrites. Either kadhba, whether atumina khan, whether wa'ada akhlafa. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, so cheating and being dishonest, this is not from the ways of a believer at all. This is from the ways of the disbelievers, rather it's from the ways of the hypocrites, waliyadhu billah. So cheating on a test is not lawful, it's not allowed, it's not pleasing to Allah, something that is not permissible to do. Barakallahu fikum. Barakallahu fikum. Is it haram to grow out hair? Is it haram to grow out hair? Yani, the women, this is allowed for them to cut their hair. Yani, to trim their hair like short, like a boy with a lice like this. A woman, she'll let her hair grow, no doubt about that. As for a man, then the man's hair, yani, is from the things that's mubah. What's not allowed with the hair of a man is to have a fade, what's called khaza', where you shave some of it and you leave some of it. So that's in different manners. You have a fade, the sides are short and the top is long, or the top is long and the side is gone, or they shave one side and they leave another. All of this is forbidden. Or any other hairstyles that are resembling the disbelievers, then this is all forbidden and not allowed. So the khaza' is something that's disliked, it's not good. If it's because of resembling the disbelievers, imitating the wicked and evil, it's haram and forbidden in a foul and lowly way. That's the way that leads away, right? And we just talked about that hadith. They're going to follow the disbelievers that are using the Christian step by step, handspan or handspan, to the extent that one of them got his hair going this way, then one of you going to have his hair going that way. Right? And if one of them shave his head like this, then we're going to shave his head like that. Just like the Prophet ﷺ said. Is that praiseworthy? No, that's blameworthy. Huh? No, shaving the whole thing is fine. Huh? That's fine, yeah. It's shaved. No, it's all one length. There was a child, in the hadith of Ibn Umar, who came. وَقَدْ حُلِّقَ بَعْضُ رَأْسِهِ وَتُرِكَ بَعْضُهُ. There was a child that had part of his head was shaved and the other part was left. The Prophet ﷺ said, لَا تَفْعَلُوهُ. احلقوه كله وتركوه كله. You shave all of it or you leave all of it. You shave all of it or you leave all of it. So that's the case. So to have your hair in a particular way, it's okay. If you have hair, you groom it. You keep it clean and you take care of it. You don't leave it all over this way. You don't have it turning into knots, into rats, and being stinky and filthy and likes like this, or imitating the weed smokers, the Rastafarians, right? The religion is getting high, so on and so forth. All of this is from the foul and low ways. All of this is from the foul and lowly ways, from imitating the kuffar and the likes like this. So some of the youth, they're trying with this affair. And they try to say, oh, I have long hair because the Prophet had long hair. This is not right. This is not right. And they're not truthful, whether they're following their desires. And I'll tell them straight up, they're following their desires. Because there's other things that they're leaving that's more important than the hair. That's more important than the hair. There's obligations that they're neglecting and that they're falling short in, and that they don't follow the Prophet in. But the hair, they follow the Prophet in? No, they're not following the Prophet in their hair. They're following the man on YouTube in their hair. They're not following the Prophet in their hair because this is not even something that's legislated. You'll never find a scholar saying that you should have your hair like this because the Prophet had his hair like this. Whether the Prophet, sometimes he had his hair long, sometimes he had his hair short, sometimes it was shaved. So, and it's normal. When he had his hair, he would take care of it. But one thing about the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his hair, when he came out of his house, his head is covered. When he came out of his house, his head is covered. And the Sahaba likewise, when they come out of their home, their head is covered. And if they followed this sunnah, then many of the problems of the qaza and the hair would go away because the head would be covered when they come out of their house, right? That's the sunnah of the Prophet. You cover your head when you come out of their house. So if you followed that sunnah, we wouldn't have to worry about when it's shaved like this, because they shave it like this because they want everybody to see. Look at my hair. It's going this way today. Look at my hair. It's going that way today. Look, I got to shave like this. I got to shave like that. Like this. I got this one. I got that one. They got names for them and everything else. Huh? But when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came out of his home, he covered his head. He wore a turban and the likes like this, or just wear something on the head. This is from the sunnah. This is from the sunnah, to cover the head when you come out of the house. This is from the good manners, the good and noble manners. So that problem would go away. That problem would go away. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one time he had his hair to his ears, another time to his shoulders. If he made Umrah, of course, or Hajj, it would be shaved. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam, man, he would take care of it. When he come out of his house, his head is covered. His head is covered. So the people of knowledge, they distinguish in the likes of these affairs. So one thing is that a believer should not do is resemble the deviant, misguided, or sinful. So if there are times where particular groups of people that are deviant and misguided, or others who are known sinners, they dress a particular way that could be considered from the Sunnah, then the people of knowledge will avoid it, because now it's known by them. Now it's known by them. And this is something that even Ibn Abdul Barr, he mentioned. Ibn Abdul Barr, he died in the year 463. And he mentioned in his time and his lands that there were the fusaq, the corrupt sinners, the well-known sinners, they started growing their hair to their shoulders. They had what's called the jumma, which is narrated in the Sunnah. The Prophet had a jumma. But he said in those days, because they became known for it, the fusaq, the corrupt sinners, the open sinners, the virtuous people and the scholars, they left that hairstyle. Because now it became a common hairstyle for the wicked people. They're known by that. So therefore the virtuous people, they left that, so they're not known by that. So we will not have our hair or our dress in a manner that's known to be from the wicked or the sinful or the disbelievers and the likes like that. So any to have your hair long is allowed. But don't do that claiming that you're following the Sunnah whenever really you're just following your desires. You're just following your desires.
You say basically the fade, right?
Huh?
Is it like a skin fade or is it
length? No, the hair has to be one size. One size. It's all one length. You leave it all one length. You understand? Huh? But what did we just say? Ta'awanu ala birri wa taqwa. You cooperate upon piety and righteousness, and do not cooperate upon sin and transgression. So if they want to get their haircut in a manner that's lawful, then you help them in that and you cooperate. Alhamdulillah, and you get money. And if they want their haircut in a manner that's not lawful, then you don't cooperate in that. And you don't get money from them. All money is not good money. So sometimes they want to drink something. So if they want to drink juice, or they want to drink water, or they want to drink soda, we sell it to them and get money. But if they want to drink alcohol, we don't say, I got to get that. You don't do it. It's not allowed. You understand? So what's allowed is allowed, and what's not allowed is not allowed. This is what we're just talking about, right? In the class. That's why we have to pay attention. It's so important that we take this knowledge in our brain and it goes in our heart and we apply it in our life. Because it's very clear. What makes it confusing is desires and finding a way to follow them. Desires and finding a way to follow them. That's how people go this way and go that way, and that's why their face stays down, and that's why there's much problems in the ummah.
If you're a halal barber and a non-believer comes and wants a fade, do you give it to him?
You can't cooperate upon sin and transgression, not with believers and non-believers. If a Muslim wants to buy a pork chop, can you sell it to him? If a disbeliever wants to buy a pork chop, can you sell it to him? No, selling pork chops is haram. You understand that? Right, to believers and non-believers. It's all the same. That's the meaning of the verse. Cooperate upon piety and righteousness, and what's halal? And don't cooperate upon sin and transgression, and what's haram? So that's a very encompassing verse, clarifying the methodology and the manhaj of a believer, and buying and trading and doing business and dealing with others. Yes? I don't know. A lot of them. They say the Prophet had that too, right? Sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but it was only three. And then those were like for reasons, like when he's traveling, for example, right? So Allah knows best. Anything that resembles the ways of the disbelievers, you should leave it. You should leave it. And for example, if there's like some really famous rapper and that's what he looks like, you shouldn't try to look like that. If there's a real famous kafir, disbeliever, and that's how his hair is, then you shouldn't have your hair like that. That's the point. You understand? So if we can look at you and then look at all of them and we don't know the difference, it's a problem. All that, right? And it's something that they do specifically, right? Their hair is all like that, and then you got your hair like that. It's kind of clear, right? Okay. Alhamdulillah. So you have to wake up. You're asking 17 times a day to be like those who Allah has bestowed His favors and blessings upon. Is Jay-Z, who is the famous guy today? Jay-Z or who else, right? Ronaldo or who, I don't know. Huh?
Speed.
Speed? What?
I shall speed.
Speed? That's his name? Speed. Okay. Is he from those whom Allah has bestowed his favorite blessing upon? Then why you want to look like him? Why you want to look like him? Huh? Why you want to look like him? He's not from those whom Allah... You're asking 17 times a day to be like these people, but you yourself, you want to be like those people. So is he going to be from those whom Allah has bestowed his favors and blessings upon? Or is he from those who earn the anger of Allah? Or from those who went astray? You understand? So which one you want to be like? You're asking 17 times with your tongue to be like them. But then when you're doing it in reality, you're like them. So there's a problem here. There's some contradiction here. There's some conflict here. There's a problem here, right? Is that clear? So we don't want to be like them. If you could only see what happens to them. وَلَوْ تَرَىٰ إِذَا الظَّالِمُونَ فِي غَمَرَاتِ الْمَوْتِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ بَاسِطُ أَيْدِيهِمْ أَخْرُجُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ الْيَوْمَ تُجَزَوْنَ عَذَابَ الْهُونِ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَقُولُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ غَيْرَ الْحَقِّ بَا كُنْتُمْ أَنَّيَاتِ تَسْتَكْبِرُونَ. If you only see those wrongdoers at the time of death, whenever the angels are stretching out their hands, beating them, give out your souls. Right? Give out your souls. Their souls don't want to go. And the angels strip their souls from them. Allah, He swore by those angels in His book, وَالنَّازِعَاتِ غَرْقًا. Those are the angels that strip the souls of the disbelievers. If you were just to see them, whenever they're being humiliated, and they're being beaten in their backs and in their faces, smiting, in humiliation, their souls come out in humiliation, with punishment and degradation. To the anger of Allah, not to His pleasure. To the wrath of Allah, not to His mercy. You understand that? That's what happens to those people whenever they die. So why do you want to be like those people? You don't want to be like those people, wallahi. Wallahi, you don't want to be like those people. Can you tell me about the ruling on taking pictures? The ruling on taking pictures. I'll tell you what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about taking pictures. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La'natullahi ala al-musawwirin." May the curse of Allah be upon those who make pictures or take pictures. Though in Arabic, the one that takes a picture or makes a picture or draws a picture, all of these words here, picture taker, picture maker, right? He's called musawwir. He's called musawwir. The musawwir, he's the one who takes a picture or makes a picture, right? So the word musawwir encompasses this whole idea of drawing a picture, taking a picture, making a picture. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "La'natullahi ala musawwirin." May the curse of Allah be upon the picture makers. You understand that? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ashadu an-nasi 'adaban yawm al-qiyamah al-musawwirun." Those who have from the most severe punishment on the day of resurrection are the picture makers. Are the picture makers. You understand? So taking pictures and making pictures, there's a great threat with regards to this. So the issue here is about pictures of the wat al-arwah, pictures of beings, creatures that have souls in them, that have life in them. This is what's forbidden. This is what's forbidden. So drawing that with the hand is forbidden, no doubt about that. Drawing that with the hand is forbidden, no doubt about that. And taking the picture with the phone, for example, this one is doubtful, to say the least. But if you take your camera out with your phone and you take a picture, what do we call that person? He's a picture taker, right? So, and who would want to play with this? Who would want to have 10% possibility he's included in the curse of the Prophet? 10% possibility. 90% sure, 10% doubt. Maybe he's from those who the Prophet cursed. You like that? That's what happens when you take pictures. That's what happens when you take pictures. So the people of knowledge, they differ with that. But any, it's a possibility that he's included. Rather, what is apparent from the wording is that it's included. So if there's no need to take pictures, like, for example, you don't have to take a picture officially. You don't need a license. You don't need a passport. You don't need any official documents. And the likes like this, then there's no need to take pictures. There's no need to take pictures. Some of the people of knowledge who do not take pictures or who have forbade taking pictures, like Sheikh Ibn Baz, for example, they mention it's permissible for video, for dawah purposes. For dawah purposes. So maybe you'll see some of the people of knowledge doing that, but for dawah purposes. But others, they do not like to do that, not even for dawah purposes. And the dawah spread all the way into us without any pitches. So it's not necessary. Right? And there's some pluses in that and some advantages and disadvantages in that. So Allah knows best. In my opinion, or my position, what I advise, to not take pictures at all. Not with a camera, not with a video, not with anything. Not with anything. Not with a picture, not with a video, unless it's a necessity. Unless it's a necessity. So just to avoid it and leave it and stay away from it. Don't take pictures. If somebody else took a picture and you look at it, no problem. Somebody took a picture, for example, of a sheikh, and you look at it, there's no problem with that. Look at it. MashaAllah. You didn't take the picture. But you don't take pictures. You understand? I don't take pictures. But if there's a picture, alhamdulillah, it's already there. So you can look at this video, brother. It's very beneficial. You can share it. The issue is not about this. The issue is about taking pictures. The curse is about the what? The picture maker, the picture taker. And Allah knows best. As for this, unless it's a video of somebody who has declared that they do not want their picture taken, like Sheikh Abdul Masjid, for example, he mentioned that more than one time. I do not allow anyone to take my picture except for my license and my passport. like this. Anything that, I do not allow it. And I will get my right on the day of resurrection. So if it's somebody like that, you don't share. If somebody took a video of, for example, Sheikh Abdul Masjid, you don't share the video. I know Sheikh Abdul Razak, he doesn't like that either. Yani, but Allah knows best. But yani, this picture thing is gone too far. And it's violating people's rights. And even it's caused great deficiency and weakness in the religion. If somebody goes to Mecca, wallahi, they just show off and waste their whole trip. Look at me here and look at me there, taking pictures, showing off. Like there's nothing for the sake of Allah. And there's nothing for the sake of Allah. Even some of them, I witnessed them in Medina. Witnessed with my eyes. A man, he thought nobody's around in the Prophet's masjid. He went over there and he set his camera up on the bookshelf. And I was looking at him from the corner, like, what is this man doing? And then he went and got in front of his camera and he started praying. And my friend was like, hey. He told him we're over there. He was so shocked. Afwan. I'm like, what do you mean afwan? Astaghfirullah. Allah hadik. Another person, Sheikh Abdul Razak, he mentioned more than one time that they witnessed a man with his friend walking in the aisle in the Prophet's masjid, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one of them, he grabs the phone. And the other one, he sits down. He gets into shahud. Pretends he's in salat. He takes the picture, stands up and leaves. He's not even in salat. I witnessed with my eyes. People in front of the Kaaba. They stand there. And then the man raises his picture. And they raise their hands. And they take the picture and they put their hands down. You understand that? Raising your hands for what? So you can take a picture? Click. Right? Click. Right? Is there anything else, like if you're showing off, right? Ria. It doesn't get more worse than that. That's 100. He didn't raise his hands to Allah. He's not even making dua. The man's not even in shahud. He just sat down like that to take a picture. Subhanallah. But they're laymen. They don't even realize that the gravity of what they're doing, how they're just belittling themselves. And belittling the deen of Allah, like it's not here. Take a picture, pretend I'm in tashahud. He doesn't even think like that. Let me pretend I'm in tashahud real fast. Astaghfirullah. But when you put it like that, you're like, astaghfirullah, you'd be shy. But this is what happens because of the camera. Allah musta'an. It's a very big problem. Hada wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. There's more, yeah? Tomorrow, inshallah, we can.